So we want to talk about every good and perfect gift. If I had talked about all of them, we wouldn't have enough time here to describe all the things that God has given, but all that we have received when it comes to God is what He has given. I can tell you, it doesn't matter how fancy church buildings may be or how much time is spent on trying to make it look good outwardly, and I thank God for it, those that do, and I thank God for our facility that we have here, but I want to tell you something, the presence of God was given. Eternal life was given. The Holy Spirit was given. I want to tell you, heavenly place that God has prepared for us is given. And so we receive everything that God has given. We have no place to boast. We have no place to swell with pride because our salvation is because God gave it. And so let's look at every good and perfect gift. It says here is from above. And there are good gifts down here. But to be perfect, it really has to come from God because He's the author of perfection. And it says, "Is whom the Father of lights and no variation of His turning, or variation or shadow of His turning." He is the Father of lights because the first thing He created on this earth was light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The evening and the morning are the first day, so we know that God created light. So let's look at it for just a moment, if we can. This verse 17, every good gift. Let's look at the word good here for just a moment. Only God really is good. There's people that we characterize as good. There's things that people do that are good, and we characterize them as good, and it is good. People give good gifts, and people are kind and compassionate to one or another. Many times they do good things. But really, when it comes down to it, goodness has its origin in God. Only God is good. Because the Bible tells us there's none righteous, not even one. There's none that does good, not even one. And so if you're wondering today, that eliminates me and you. It takes God. Only God is good, but God is good. And God has nothing prepared except good and perfect gifts for His people. And you may say, well, I woke up not feeling too good today, so that wasn't very good. Before we start blaming God for everything, let's understand something. That we don't live in a very good world. We live in good things. We have it very, very well here in the United States compared to most countries in the world. But I want to tell you something, friend. All that goodness that we have comes from God. Our nation was founded on godly principles. It's strayed far from that now. But being the good nation that we live in, it started with God. He was the source of it. But only God is good. And I can tell you, friend, today, if this helps your feelings, if it don't, I'm sorry. I'll tell you the truth. The only good thing about you and I is Christ in us. Because He is good. And God will never cease to be good. If I were to ask for testimony this morning, you could tell me how good God has been to you. You could tell me the good things that God has done for you throughout your life since you've been serving Him. I want to tell you, God is good every time, all the time, forever. He is forever good. And so, the source of every good thing is God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And so let's look at for just a couple of minutes here for some of the perfect gifts. I said a couple of minutes here, so let me stretch that if I can a little bit. Preachers are good at doing that. Amen. They're good at concluding for 15 minutes. I won't do that. But some of God's perfect gifts, of course, as we celebrate this time, was God's gift of His Son to this world. The greatest gift that could ever be given was the eternal, sinless, pure, righteous Son of God. And so we know that God sent His only begotten Son into this world. Even for Christ to take on humanity, for God to take on humanity, is amazing. He left the glories of heaven, where He is receiving praise continually. The Bible says they cease not day and night, the angels of God, for giving praise and honor to the Lamb of God. They do give praise forever. And so God chooses to leave that through His Son, and He steps down to earth where we are so that He could provide a perfect way of redemption, a means of salvation for us all. And God did that because God loves us. And God's love is beyond our explanation, our imagination. We think of love, we want to love somebody that means something to us. We want to love somebody that might do something good for us. Or we love people because of certain things that they do, or certain things that they don't do, or whatever. But God loves us unconditionally. That doesn't mean that God loves everything about you and I. As a matter of fact, without his righteousness, he cannot love us at all. But God does love us, and God loves sinful, broken humanity so much that he made a way that he might be cleaned up, made pure and holy and righteous and acceptable in heaven. Amen. So nobody leaves this world without Christ and goes to heaven, because there's none good. Down here it takes God to make a person good. But God loves us. God's love is perfect. God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Christ not only came as the babe in the manger, but he grew up, he did powerful works, his words will never be forgotten. His words and who he is has done more to this earth than any human being that's ever walked this planet. Of course, he was God in the flesh. The word became flesh. God became humanity. Amen. And so we are what we are because of God's redemptive plan. And perfect redemption comes from God. There could not be any other sacrifice offered God that would satisfy the payment for sin except God giving his only son. And it took perfect, pure, righteous, sinless blood to atone for my sins and yours. The sin, the blood of bulls and goats could never permanently atone for sins. In the Old Testament, it took Christ to fulfill that. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When he was offered up on the last altar, the cross, his blood atones for every sin. And so we don't have to, every time we sin, go offer animal sacrifice for our sins. But Christ, the Lamb of God, poured out his soul into death for you and I because he loved you personally. He loved me. He loves without partiality. God loves everyone. One the same, and he's no respecter of persons, in the sense that he plays no personal favoritism. Thank God for that. Every good and perfect gift. Christ is a perfect gift. The book of Colossians, it tells us, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. People are never complete without the Son of God. Never complete if you don't have Christ in your heart and in your life. You can search through time and eternity and try to find things that will satisfy and somehow meet the need within you, but that need in you is spiritual, and the only one that can meet that need is God. No church building can meet it. No denomination can meet it. It has to come through personal relationship between you and Christ, you and God. And God has made that a personal for every one of us. We can know him as our personal Savior. Amen. And when we partake of the emblems of communion here in just a few minutes, we need to understand that blood was shed for me, for you personally, but for my sin. Jesus didn't die on a cross because he thought it'd be a nice thing to do for people. It took that blood to atone, to pay for my sins. Because I want to tell you something, with before Christ, our sins had run way out of reach. There's no credit card bill that's ever run up as high as your sins will run. You may be able to pay off a credit card, but you can't make one payment for sin. It takes God to do that, and God, through his Son, did that. Praise the Lord. So every good and perfect gift is from above. We did not earn it. God gave it. Gifts aren't earned. They are given. And God doesn't change. God is still perfect. And today, 2,000 years later, one drop of his blood can still atone for the thousand sins of people. And I'm glad for that. Not only did God give us his Son, God gave us the gift of eternal life when you receive him as your Savior. It's awful to see a person go off into eternity without God. I don't want to see anybody die without God. You say, well, I don't want to see anybody die, period. Well, I've watched quite a number of people die in my lifetime, physically. Many of the times in the hospital, when they breathe their last, it's not a wonderful time. But you can certainly tell if that person is right with God, because expression will tell you they're ready to meet God. They'll tell you they're ready to meet God. and they'll pass away. But if they're ready to meet God, that spirit man within inside us, there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. That spiritual body inside goes to be with the Lord immediately. Their body doesn't sleep in the grave till Jesus comes, as some people teach. That spirit man goes to be with God immediately. It'll be rejoined with the body at the rapture and the resurrection. Okay. So God gives the gift of eternal life. I'm going to go ahead and say it here. John 14:1, Jesus said right before he was going to the cross, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I'm thankful, friend. We don't have to look at this world and say, what in the world is going to happen to everybody? How are we going to make it deal with terrorism wild and upon the planet and everybody dying here and there and people killing one another? How are we going to make it? I want to tell you something. God has an eternal place for you. If we die today, we go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, friend, the best thing and the worst, or the worst and the best thing that can happen to you is for you to die and be with Jesus. The best thing. Amen. Because God's got a place for you in his eternity, where there's no sorrow, sickness, suffering, dying, or death. There are no cemeteries in heaven. There are no cancer wards in heaven. I want to tell you something. There's no cancer treatment in heaven. There's no MD Anderson in heaven. Thank God for him here. Amen. But I'm glad that Jesus has a place prepared for us. Glory to God. You say, well, preacher, you're getting away from the birth of Christ and on to the eternal things. Christ is eternal. And we know that Christ is blood. I've mentioned this before already. Preachers do that usually. Is blood, Christ is blood, is a payment for sin. Who knew that that baby in the manger, Bethlehem, that every drop of blood running through his system, physical blood, would mean payment for sin for people of the whole world? 1 John 4:9, for this, in this the love of God is revealed or manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God is life. You can say that. Heaven is life. Eternity with God is life. In heaven there will be nothing but life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen. He said, "I'm the bread of life." Everything about God is life. In heaven, there won't be anything but life. You've got a tree of life there. You've got a book of life there. You've got a river of life there. All that's in heaven is life. And I want to tell you, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. And so we know that this life is possible because of the atoning blood of Christ. And God gave perfect, sinless, atoning blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold." You know, if we could purchase our way to salvation, there'd be some people trying to do that. "Not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot." Man. So every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down, verse 17, from the Father of lights. So God created light. He created not only physical light, sun, moon, stars. God created spiritual light. And God shone the spiritual light on us when he gave his Son to this world. And his light shows on a world of sin, exposing it. That's what happens when a person gives their heart to Jesus. The light of Christ shines on them, and they know they've sinned. They know they're not ready to meet God. And he convicts them, and God chooses to save them from their sins. But spiritual light came when Jesus came into the world. Forgiveness and pardon for sin is not from here, it's from above. It's from God. In the passage that we read, I won't deal a whole lot with it, but in James 1 there, verses 12 through 15, he talks about when you're tempted. Everybody's been tempted. Somebody told me one time, I have perfect faith, so I'm not tempted. I can't tell you what I was tempted to tell him. And if Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, everybody's going to be tempted. But here it says that blessed or happy is the man who endures temptation. For when he's overcome, he will receive a crown of life. And nobody can say, well, God made me do it. I'm tempted by God. The Bible says here, God doesn't tempt anyone. But man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and own desires. God does not set up temptation for you. But God makes a way of escape. Praise the Lord. God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone, for he himself does not tempt anyone. But people are tempted when they're drawn away by their own desires or their own lust and enticed. You start dabbling in things you know you shouldn't be dabbling in. And temptation comes along and you've got to make a choice whether you're going to yield to it or reject it. And it says, and that desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Let me tell you, the wages of sin is death. And without Christ, there is no payment for sin. You reap the wages of sin forever if you don't have Christ in your heart. But if you have him in your heart, Jesus paid for your sins, and therefore you can be forgiven and be free. Praise the Lord. So, from the Father of lights, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Because you see, when God forgives you, you're forgiven. And God's not going to decide somewhere down the line, you said, you know, they lived pretty bad before they were saved, and so I'm not going to be too kind to them now. No, God doesn't change. Unlike us, God doesn't need to change because he's always right. Malachi chapter 3, he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Praise God. And so our part is to continue to live and walk with God and serve him. Do we have the choice still to do good or do evil? Yes, we have the choice. But God gives us the power to make the right choices. And when we fail, God by his Holy Spirit convicts us so that we know to repent and make things right with him. 1 John 1 and 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's very plain. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a continual cleansing of his blood as we walk in the light. That doesn't mean that we can sin, choose to sin, and it's okay because God's going to cover it anyway. But it simply means that God's blood continually purges and cleanses us from our sins as we walk in the light, and our part is to walk in the light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that God has forgiven you every time you've asked him to forgive you? How many times have you failed God? You don't have to shout out a number. God already knows. And you said, God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have talked to that person that way. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have looked at that person that way. God, would you please forgive me? God said, maybe. No, he is faithful and just to forgive us. God's not intent on anybody going to hell. Matter of fact, he himself came down here to make a way so we wouldn't have to. He would rather us be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some will perish and some will die and go to hell because they will not receive the gift of salvation that God has offered them. But we serve an unchanging God today, and every good and perfect gift comes from God. And he's made sure that we had the right gift, and Jesus is the right gift. Amen. And so we can have Christ in our heart. We can walk with him and talk with him. We can pour out our soul to him. We can tell him things we wouldn't tell anybody else. We can tell him everything, and we should. He knows it anyway. Praise God. And so we can remain in our fellowship with God because of what he did for us coming to this world, and also what he did at the end of his life, physical life, when he gave his own shed his blood for us. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. As far as the east is to the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. You don't get further away from sin than that. As far as the east is to the west, God takes it away. And God drowns your sins in the depths of the sea, it says, the book of Micah. Amen. Thank God for that.